It's time for Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO and KIDOAM.com. Listen, learn, and interact with Brian Wiley and Steve Rausch and other local expert guests. Brian Wiley is a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Tree City Advisors is an Idaho-registered investment advisory firm. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any specific financial, legal, or other advice on this program. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment security or investment strategy. Call the show now at 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. Idaho's Money Show starts now.
Well, good evening. It starts right now. 6 minutes after the hour, it's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. Do you have audio there, Steve Rausch?
I have audio.
I have audio as well. I'm Brian Wiley, your financial advisor. We've got audio. Hopefully you do as well. We're here for you 5 nights a week, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 580 KIDO. I'm Brian Wiley, your financial advisor. Steve Rausch is, of course, your estate planning attorney. We're going to make Steve Marsh sound real odd here in a second, I'm sure. It's going to sound funny, right?
Hello.
Well, now you sound like you luck. Steve Marsh joining us here in the studio. Steve Marsh with Medical Plans of Idaho. He's our insurance expert. So you've got a legal expert, insurance expert, and I'm your financial advisor all in the studio this evening. If you'd like to call the program, we'd love to have your phone call. The Team Subaru of Napa studio hotline is 580-5436. That's 580-KIDO. A lot of people had big hopes for Obamacare, that it was going to, in fact, be the one thing that was going to fix a bad problem of rising health care costs. And they thought that just offering it out to everybody else would even the score. And by putting everybody's medical expenses on the table, then we would suddenly know what they are. And then we could plan for them and things would work. A lot of us knew better, that adding a bunch of people to the insurance industry without having any considerations for pre-existing health concerns or the ability to pay was going to be both a strain on insurance companies and on taxpayers. Surprise. Surprise. Now insurance companies are finally starting to cry the blues. And hence the reason why we asked Steve Marsh to come on the program this evening, because we're going to talk about Blue Cross of Idaho, among other insurers. Really, this comes off of news that United Health was no longer going to offer any more individual health care plans.
Right. Yep. They're going to leave the individual market nationwide.
And they're going to go only to group.
Group, Medicare, you know, different types of business like that. Apparently, they are going to stay in the state of Utah, but they are pulling out of the exchanges.
Okay. Yeah. Well, who's clicking? Give me the pen.
It's my glasses.
Sorry. Did you hear that? Sounds like Cooper.
Wasn't me.
Sitting in the back of the car.
Steve Rausch is just sitting there going, yeah, it wasn't me.
Pen goes in, the pen goes out. Pen goes in, the pen goes out.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. So the insurance companies are suffering.
Yeah.
You gave one example today that the latest kind of rumor, Blue Cross of Idaho, losing 9 cents for every dollar.
Correct. Yeah.
Losing 9 cents for every dollar.
Yeah.
So what happened? I mean, really, what happened? Why is it that the insurance companies are struggling and nobody else is?
Well, because
we all are.
We all are. But
providers don't seem to be. St. Luke's is going to build a huge new facility.
Yeah, they're building a nice one over there in Napa.
So that's what we were just talking about before we came on, is that with Obamacare, what happened was is they came in, they did all this wrangling with the insurance companies, wrangling with the individuals.
Special interest here, special interest there, carve out this.
The big thing that they didn't tackle was the health care costs.
Right.
In other words, going in and dancing on the head of the physician practices and making them lower their costs.
Meaning the hospital systems and making them lower their costs, because I don't think the physician-owned practices are the problems.
No, I agree with you. I think it is the hospital systems.
Right.
Yeah, and here we don't have really any competition. You got two hospital systems that are fighting it out. And, you know, we saw over the course of the last couple of years, you know, a lawsuit that was brought as one system tried to acquire part of a third entity, a much smaller third entity out there. And that got shut down. So we just have no competition when it comes to the hospitals. So what happens here a lot of times is, like, I think part of the reason why the insurance companies are losing money is because they're just not collecting enough premium, bottom line, believe it or not, in order to stop Brian, in order to offset all the additional costs that we have to bear. You know, so there were 10 things that every insurance policy has to have in them. And, you know, as an example, in the past, if you wanted to have a colonoscopy, that's a diagnostic procedure. That's, you know, $1,500 to $1,800 down the street. Today, a screening colonoscopy has to be paid for at 100% by the insurance companies. So
it's because it's preventative care.
Because it was deemed as preventative care. So we have a lot more things that are built into the plans today, including in Idaho, we have this prescription drug component. That's a minimum essential benefit. But prior to Obamacare, the most an insurance company here in Idaho, for the most part, paid was between $1,200 and $2,400 a year in prescription drug benefit. There were a few policies, old policies that people kept that, you know, had an unlimited benefit up to $1 million in a lifetime. But now we have no caps, and that prescription drug component has to be covered within their maximum out-of-pocket.
Which goes back to what I said, is that Congress didn't go in and fix really the problem, which was going after the drug companies themselves, going after the hospital systems themselves, and forcing some form of a revamp of the way that is happening. Now, they have done some things on the Medicaid or Medicare side, but not anything that is helping the overall problem.
Right. Could the fundamental problem be that we had too much intervention from the beginning from the government, which exacerbated the entire issue?
Yeah, because we have a lot of mandates.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I agree.
We have a lot of mandates that say you have to do this, you have to provide that. I think prior to the ACA coming into place, I think Idaho had like 51 mandates. So those are, every one of those just adds to the cost of insurance. And then you start bringing in people who previously did not have insurance, who have a lot of health problems, and we just start seeing a lot of usage going on in the market.
So insurance certainly hasn't gotten any cheaper, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any cheaper anytime soon. And the more competition that you take out of the markets, the more control those that are left standing still will have, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if we get to the point where we're down to 3-4 insurers here in the state, at what point do we just start seeing the hat being thrown in, and then we're going to move to a single payer system? Because I think that's exactly where we're headed.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think the overall, you know, the original plan of this was to destroy the insurance system.
What does that do to your business, by the way? That would kill it, wouldn't it?
It would kill it. I'd have to go flip burgers for $15 an hour when we get the minimum wage up there. On some days, that's pretty good money for an insurance guy. Right now we really have two insurance companies playing in the market. This year it's Select Health and Blue Cross of Idaho.
And how are they doing?
And they're losing money. There's no way around it. Both of them, you know, definitely have the big market share. Mountain Health Co-op still has a good portion of consumers out there as well. But, you know, you've got Regents who basically took a stand, a step back and said, you know, we're not going to participate in this thing. So we're going to create another insurance company called Bridgespan. And that's the product that they use for just a very limited scope of products. Providing some medical plans out there. And most of those are high deductible. You know, they're not trying to compete.
They're not ACA plans.
So here's
what
they
are,
problems.
But they're not going to compete against Blue Cross of Idaho or Select Health. And then you've got Pacific Source, who, great company, but, you know, they're looking at it and saying, you know, we're not going to step into this thing and lose millions of dollars. We just don't have the money to do so.
So costs are rising so quickly that now I don't even know how to plan for it. When my clients tell me that they want to retire before the age of 65, the Medicare age, it's very difficult for me to forecast what medical expenses are going to cost them, especially when we're a few years out from that happening. Give you an example of it. Met today with a couple, almost 62 years old, male. Female is, I think 57. I actually should have honed up on that one, known a little bit better. But when he retires, they're going to lose household insurance from his employer. She's going to have to go on the private insurance market.
Yeah.
Right now, the estimate was $800 a month. Mm-hmm. And that would be 2 years from now at age 59. And then she would be at the whim of the insurance markets for 6 years until she hits Medicare age.
Right.
What
right.
do you do? I mean, how do you even plan for something like that? We have no clue where the cost will be.
Right. Right. Yeah, you know, and for a lot of those people, it's really difficult because they want to retire. They've worked really hard to get to that point, but they may have to, somebody may have to continue working in order to pay those premiums.
Just to get the insurance.
Just to get the insurance. Because in her case, I'll bet you her premium alone is probably, at age 60, is probably going to be in the $650.
Well, it's $800 right now is the estimate for yeah. her to get it. I believe now.
Yeah, that's probably sure. a good plan, but she could probably get a plan for about
a little bit less
$550.
Than
yeah. Yeah. But still, I mean, that's going to have a $5,000-$6,000 deductible at $550 a month. Come on now.
Which is a little scary when you're heading into those ages because you realize you're going to be using it.
So let me ask you a question. So the theory behind the ACA was that you had to be on it. If you're not on it, then you're going to be taxed on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where does that tax money go? Does that get kicked back to the insurance companies?
The fine, you mean? No, that's not insurance company money. That's money to help fund the tax credits in the first place. That's all part. See, they knew from the beginning there's going to be a certain percentage of people that are going to say, no, we're not going to participate in this thing. And so that's part of the funding mechanism at the bottom of this thing. So,
And that money goes back to the IRS and then back into the general fund or what?
I guess it goes back into the general fund to fund the overall program.
It's the general budget.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, as an example, I had a call today and she was, you know, she basically called in because she wanted to make some changes to her health plan because now all of a sudden they have a prescription that's needed in the family. 6 months ago when they had open enrollment, you know, we went the least expensive program. But we don't want to, you know, be paying any fines. So granted, they get, you know, a low premium, still about $800 a month for this family. But now they have a $100 monthly medication that's out there. So they wanted to change plans. I told them they couldn't without a special election period. So I was told, hey, you know what? There are plans out there for $200 a month that we could get. And I said, not in Idaho, there's not. So anyway, we went round and round a little bit. And, you know, unfortunately, she was upset. I told her, you know, go look at those plans, get the information, and come back to me. I'll show you where the holes are in them, and I'll show you why they're not what you think they are. And then should you choose to go that direction, you'll at least be educated and know what you're getting into, again, for the second time. Because, right. you know, in the beginning, she didn't need that coverage. Now that they need it, they can't get it, which is unfortunate.
Well, we're going to go to a break, but when we come back, one of the things I want to ask you, Steve, is what do small business owners hiring employees do in this situation?
Tough situation. Yeah.
All right, we'll have that and more. Plus, we can take your phone calls if you've got questions. We'll get the answers for you. Steve Marsh joining us here on the program from Medical Plans of Idaho. I'm Brian Wiley with Steve Roush. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. Here's the phone number. It's Team Super of Napa Studio Hotline at 580 KIDO.
And back weekday mornings 9 to 12 on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
We'd love to have communication from you. Just go to idahosmoneyshow.com. You can communicate with any of us there. You can find contact information for each one of us individually there. You can even just pick on our photos or click on them, and you can link right to us. Another thing that's on idahosmoneyshow.com is a registration page. If you'd like to join me Saturday morning, I'm going to be teaching a class on TRESEP, which is my program. It's a guided do-it-yourself investing program. I had some really cool things happen with TRESEP today, and I think I'm allowed to even say it. One thing I've been wanting to really make work with that program is I've been asking TD Ameritrade to allow us to have access. If a client has or if a person has an account at TD Ameritrade and is using TRESEP, that we could have access to their program to be able to generate the trades for them. So you'll be able to do everything within TRESEP. So if TRESEP says, hey, we recommend you buy this and sell that, the next question will be, do you want us to set up the trade tickets for you? And if you click yes, and then it'll say, please review these. Do you want us to send these orders in for execution? And you would click yes and be done. So I presented this program to TD Ameritrade this morning, and they saw it for about 3 minutes. I'm not kidding you. This is how long it took them to say, okay, yes, approved. Let's do it. We love it. That's amazing.
Wow.
It took 4 months for me to finally get in front of the decision maker at TD Ameritrade. They like it. The guy went through the program. He goes, wow, this is fantastic. I like this. He asked some questions about the allocating. He thought it was more of a trading program. I said, it's not a trading program. It's something that will sit right in between a passive modern portfolio theory type of an allocation, which I don't think is good, and an active trading program, which I think there are plenty of those out there. This is for the mom, the dad that has got kids at home that knows that they should be doing something more than they're doing now, and they'd like to get away from an expensive broker, and they just want to be able to have something modern and guided and be able to execute it on their own. And for $199 a year, honestly, I don't know any other way to invest money with less cost. You can't go to a robo-advisor. You can't go to any local advisor here in town and have any professional involved and do it for less than this cost. That's all I know. If you'd like to see how the program works, I'm going to show it personally, 9 a.m. Saturday morning in my office, Banner Bank Building, downtown Boise, on the 11th floor. We're going to meet outside because the front doors of the building will be locked, and then we'll go upstairs. I've got the conference room. I can seat 10 people. It's free, and it'll be about an hour and a half. You don't need to bring anything. So we'll have coffee there. If you'd like some coffee, water, tea, it's all there. And I'll have the technology and be able to show you how it works. And if you've got questions, I'll answer them all. That's it. If you'd like to register, go to idahosmoneyshow.com.
Cool.
Kind of cool, right?
It is.
Steve Marsh, Medical Plans of Idaho. Steve Roush. I'm Brian Wiley. It's Idaho's Money Show. The Team Super of Nampa Studio Hotlines, 580-5436. Steve, you had the question. I'm sorry. I kind of...
No, you're fine.
Stole it.
So we all know that under the whole ACA scheme is that employers with 50 or more employees have to provide health insurance.
Right.
But for those employers that fall zero employees to 49 employees, there is no mandate that you have to provide health insurance. But there are employers that choose to provide it.
Right.
So is that all on group plans, or what have you been seeing? Have you been seeing employers doing... Just paying their employees extra so they can go to the individual marketplace? What have you been seeing?
Well, as an employer gets closer to that 50, they also have to start doing some calculations to determine if their part-time employees create an equivalency that pushes
Correct.
Them over 50. But for that small employer, 2 to 49, it's completely voluntary to provide a benefit to the employees. And for the most part, we thought that a lot of employers would actually go away from group policy, step back and give employees some additional money. You go buy what you want, and I don't have to worry about the healthcare benefits anymore. And there was a little bit of that going on. But for the most part, the small group benefit market is very robust and very strong out there. So if you have a company that's got 10 to 15, 25 employees, you're probably going to just provide them a good solid group health insurance plan. But for those micro groups that, just starting out getting that first employee, or you got two or three employees, sometimes it creates quite a problem. I've worked with two companies this week, and I think ultimately what's going to end up happening is they're probably going to have to, instead of, and I'm just making up numbers here, instead of paying somebody, $12 an hour, they're probably going to have to raise the hourly wage to say $14 or $15 an hour, and then that employee can just go out and buy their own insurance. Simply because in one of the cases, an employee – the employer would lose their tax credit that they have now, which would, of course, force the cost of insurance
up, right.
Much higher. And then it kind of takes away from the whole purpose of being able to hire a new employee, because they're spending so much more on health care that they wouldn't be able to probably do that. And then, in another case, it's just simply the bottom line is the cost of going out and buying a small group plan on a group of three can be prohibitive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything, and I haven't studied this, but is there any rules against just providing them extra money to go buy their own plan versus, that's really just,
you can provide a stipend, right?
I could raise your wage
but he can't require,
but I can't require you to go, buy health insurance with it. That would be like me saying, here's $50. You have to buy Pepsi versus Coke. I can't do that to you.
Can he buy an individual plan for his employee?
He cannot. No.
Why?
No. Just because that's the rules. I mean, the rules are the rules. So
rules are meant to be broken. That's all
they
I'm
are.
Saying.
They are, and lots of and that happens. I mean, but they're breaking the rules. So if you're doing that, you could find yourself in a lot of trouble.
Okay, so
because that would be deemed as a group health plan, and there's certain things that have to be covered under that direction that aren't on the individual.
Why would his group health plan be more expensive than his individual plan? What's the factor there?
Because, well, number one, we're not going to be able to go ask for a tax credit should they income qualify for a tax credit.
Okay.
So we're going to start with full retail price. But also, we're generally loading the benefits a little bit better. So they're going to have maybe lower deductibles. They're going to have lower maximum out-of-pockets. They're going to have better co-pays when it comes to not only the doctor visits. It'll probably have an unlimited doctor office visit benefit. But your prescription drug benefit is, generally going to be a much better prescription drug component.
Hmm.
So you just get a better benefits package.
Right. In a group plan, you do, but you pay for it.
You do. You are going to pay for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the past, before the ACA came out, sometimes we'd see group rates would be higher than the individual. And then other times we'd see individual.
Offset, right.
Yeah. There's these offsets and they would go back and forth. But, I can't pay for an employee's premium unless it's in a group health insurance premium.
All right. When we come back, we got two things I want to cover. One is I want to talk about small employers and how these mom and pop shops are supposed to survive. When Steve's a great example. He's an attorney. He just hired a gal. Mm-hmm. And he wants to accommodate for her, pay her well.
Absolutely.
But he's got to know what the rules are as well.
Right.
Second, there was some new rules that aim to end payday loan debt traps.
Saw that today.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. Plus, we can take your phone calls. I'm Brian Wiley with Steve Marsh, Steve Roush. This is Idaho's Money Show. Team Subaru of Napa Studio Hotlines 580-KIDO. Stay with us.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580-KIDO, Idaho's talk station.
Steve Marsh joining us here, Medical Plans of Idaho. It's getmpi.com. Steve Roush is also here. He's your attorney. I'm your financial advisor. I'm Brian Wiley. It's Idaho's Money Show, the phone line. Team Subaru of Napa Studio Hotline's 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. So, Steve Marsh, small employers, mom and pop shops, Vicky and myself. Actually, it's really me. I'm the managing director, the sole owner, I guess, of the LLC.
Yeah, you are.
I have Vicky working for me, who's a family member. It's my wife. But then we have Alex. And, I want to be a good employer. I want to make sure that we're providing benefits to her. I want to provide a fair compensation plan. It squeaks every once in a while already. It just squeaks a little bit. How does a small business navigate through this health insurance issue? And what is required of small businesses? And when are they actually required to do something under ACA?
Right. So again, unless they have 50 full-time equivalent employees, they're not required to provide health insurance.
Okay. So no obligations whatsoever.
Right. So you have no obligation. However, should you choose to do something, if she works 30 hours or more a week, she then, and should you choose to create a small group, that's a minimum requirement that's put out there. 30 hours a week. They have to be full-time. It's not a seasonal position. And sometimes we can go down to as low as 20 hours. But if you do it for one employee, you do it for all employees. And so usually 30 hours is the benchmark that we use. And then you have to have participation. So as an example, if Vicky is actually earning wages in the business, then you've got a group of three. But chances are
she's earning wages.
Okay, so in your case, you got a group of three. So in most cases, you're going to have 75 to 100% participation. So let's just say that the insurance company you want requires 75% participation. Everybody's going to have to participate in order to make that work.
To be able to have a
group
plan.
To be able to create that group
plan. But why would we want a group plan? I mean, there's no reason to, because it sounds like it'd be more expensive anyhow.
It's probably going to be more expensive,
right.
But maybe you're in a situation where right now, so I'll give you the best example is, even though you have health insurance right now, maybe you wanted to actually provide a group health insurance plan, but you also might want to change your plan mid-year. Right now, you're locked in. You can't make any changes unless you have a special election period. So if you created a small group plan, you could terminate your existing individual plan, and now you could create a small group plan, and instead of having a high deductible HSA, you could have that $250 deductible with $2,000-$3,000 out of pocket.
Does a group plan require underwriting?
No.
They don't. Are they doing a census on the ages of the people that are working there? Anything like that?
It is, yeah. So we're looking at dates of birth and really tobacco use.
Okay.
The zip code that you live in. That's going to be the determiners.
Fun little fact you came up with over the break on tobacco use.
Tobacco use. So in Idaho, federal survey says that 17% of Idahoans smoke tobacco. Only 3% of those who've enrolled on the healthcare exchange have admitted to using tobacco. So,
what is the what's the penalty for not telling the truth?
So, actually, the penalty is under federal law, you cannot be terminated, but they can go backwards and surcharge you the premium that you should have paid in the first place. But that's it.
Do you think that's right, Steve Roush? Do you think that's the right way to do that?
No. No, I don't.
Seriously, I mean, I would think that a person should be excused from their policy. They should be fined for the lie.
Well, it's you are committing a fraud.
And it is a fraud.
It is a fraud.
And the issue then is that there is actually, for certain types of insurance, there's some pretty steep penalties for fraud.
Yeah,
there is.
So why isn't there the
on the
same
health insurance?
On the health insurance side?
Yeah, and you know, states have the choice to whether or not they can surcharge additional premium or not. I think there's 8 states that don't charge for tobacco use, but in Idaho we do.
Happens to be Virginia.
Yeah, probably. And Kentucky.
The R.J. Reynolds states.
Yeah, right. But I think it's about 9 to 10% difference here. You know, so on a $500 premium, you know, it's $50 a month. Now, if we were talking life insurance, it'll double your premium.
No, of course.
Absolutely.
Because your risks go sky high.
Right. So that leads back to, you asked earlier before a break, why is our cost continuing to climb? Well, because people don't always tell the truth, you know? And so if you have somebody who lies, you know, about particular care that they're receiving or whether they use tobacco or not, you know, the insurance companies say that it costs more to insure those individuals.
Is vaping, electronic cigarettes, are those considered tobacco use?
They're not, no.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
And the interesting thing is on the applications for health insurance, it asks you, do you use tobacco 4 or more times a week? Okay. So, you know, if you smoke one cigarette a day or if you, you know.
Well, one a day would get it.
One a day would get it. But if you're, you know, if you're in the process of quitting and you're down to, you know, just a couple here
and
there,
those that
you're
chew
not
the
a tobacco
gum, that wouldn't count.
Nicotine gum,
because that's not tobacco.
It's not tobacco, no.
Jeez,
no.
Loopholes.
So, nor is marijuana.
So here's my curiosity. So let's say, I think this was all a foregone conclusion that eventually this is going to implode upon itself. So. Mm-hmm. What do we envision is going to come out of this? Is it going to be a situation that just like we have right now where you pay out of your paycheck for Medicare, which you don't see until you hit 65?
Right. Well, a one-payer – everybody talks about this eventually going to a one-payer system. The thing is the federal government has not done well with Medicare in the first place. In fact, in most states, a lot of states under Medicaid, it's private insurance companies that actually run those programs.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, and this is the way I thought the whole process would have been built in the first place was – the existing insurance companies that are here, they have all the contracts with the doctors, the providers. Medicare doesn't necessarily do that stuff, and they certainly don't do it, you know, very well. That's why Medicare Advantage is out there, which Medicare Advantage uses private insurance companies in order to provide the benefits that the government promised under Parts A and B of Medicare. So my opinion is that's what we're going to end up with at some point. We're not going to lose the insurance industry.
So they're still going to be here. They're just going to be – it's going to be contracts with whatever the federal agency that comes out of this
– correct
– is going to have the contracts with whoever the private insurance carriers are.
Yeah. Let's say like in a state like Idaho, there might be 4 carriers that – you can choose from, and that's where you're going to get your one
your
payer
insurance,
from.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to Medicare, but just, okay.
That's what I think will come out of this. Now, I could be completely wrong, but that's what makes sense.
You know? Well, yeah. And then the whole bigger question then becomes, how does that funded? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be an automatic deduction like it is now out of your paycheck? Or is it voluntary that you pay in? Or how's that, you know, how are we going to fund it? Because without some funding vehicle, where's the money coming from?
Right. Well, I see it as a situation, and again, this is the way I saw it coming down, but it didn't go this direction. It'd be everybody gets, here's your basic care. Everybody gets that. It'd
right.
be basically like a Medicaid. Everybody gets that. But should you want to have less out-of-pocket or you want to have a little more access to care, you're going to buy a silver and you'll pay $50 a month and you'll be able to go up to a new benefit level.
Sure.
But everybody gets the basic level of care that I think they were trying to give in the first place.
Well, yeah, and I think the theory behind it, right, is that we have all these people out here that weren't insured, and they were weighing on the system because they mm-hmm. come in, they go to the emergency room, and then it's the indigent funds from every county across the United States that's covering that. I think the idea was, is, well, wait a minute, that's not sustainable. So how do we do this? So now what we're going to do is we're going to build in this whole thing that if you're a citizen of the United States, you get at least this coverage.
Right, right.
Now... Mm-hmm. You know, and then if you want to increase your benefit, you know, make the benefit more, you know, robust, then you get to pay more and
right.
you can increase that benefit.
Right, right. Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't have that system. And again, in Idaho, if you're under 100% of the federal poverty level, you know, and for a family of four, that's about $23,000 a year. Then you don't qualify for any help getting health insurance. In fact, you either pay full retail price or you go without. You don't even get Medicaid. Now, your children would get Medicaid.
Your children do. But you don't get penalized either, do you?
Because, you don't.
Because
no.
Idaho chose not to expand the Medicaid
right.
program.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. If you've got questions, we can help you out. You just have to call the program. The Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is 580-KIDO. Excuse me, that's 585-436. So some new rules that aim to end payday loan debt traps have been proposed. This came out for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Short-term lenders would have to verify borrowers' ability to promptly repay loans and be prevented from repeatedly issuing loans to the same consumers. I read through the loans. They're pretty vague. They're not that substantial, I don't think. But I think that point about them being able to repay it should mean that they can't issue very many loans after that, right? Because
right.
I think that's the issue, is a lot of these people cannot repay them. One of the criteria for being able to repay a loan is that they have the ability to pay for shelter and food.
Yeah. Hmm. Be able to cover your basic costs or your basic needs.
Basics, yeah. They got to be able to afford the basics. Lenders would also be required to check a consumer's credit report to verify the amount of other outstanding loans and required payments. The new rules also include provisions designed to prevent consumers from being hit with drastic fees, such as repeated attempts to collect debts from depleted checking accounts. After two straight unsuccessful attempts, the lender would be prohibited from debiting a borrower's account again, unless the lender gets a new and specific authorization from the borrower.
Interesting.
Well, of course, the lenders are saying, well, don't take this off the table. Don't do this to us, because now it's going to send these borrowers to less reliable sources or these, you know, these loan shark TARP loans.
Because I saw another article today that was going along with this, where it said that what they anticipate or have been seeing is actually employers are stepping in and filling that gap. Employers are stepping in and providing these payday loans or gap loans for their own employees, so they're not having to go to these high interest rate payday loans.
Well, you're an attorney. Yeah. What kind of liability does that put the employer in now to collect a debt
against their own employee
from unworked hours?
Yeah, but you know, also I think that employer would have to have it worked out with the Department of Finance that they can actually do these things in the first place.
Or offer a loan to them.
Yeah. Offer loans, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. That article just said that was one of the things that they have seen that's been at least some businesses have been doing.
Yeah.
Now, we offered a bit of a poll here a couple weeks ago in the show asking if people have had a good experience or bad experience with payday loans. We'll still accept that if you'd like to chime in. We'd love to hear your comments. The Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is 580-KIDO. That's 585-436. We've had somebody that called the show and said, hey, it helped him get out of a tight spot.
Tight situation.
And he got out of that and moved on. But it sounds like he might be the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
if I were to take the chats that we've had with Chris Sperry, who has been on the collection side of it, and he's been on the bankruptcy side, representing
the debtor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. So he's seen both sides of this and realizing the destruction in it. He says, you know what? this is one area where he would agree with a lot of regulation or legislation to stop such predatory type practices from existing.
Well, you know, they're on almost every corner anymore. Yeah, they're like a Walmart.
The title loans?
Yeah.
Title loans. Payday loans.
I mean, Walgreens.
What was interesting, too, there was an article that I read today that was talking about, it went through all 50 states, and it showed what you needed to make wage-wise per hour to afford to rent a two-bedroom apartment across the country. Idaho, you needed to be making $14.27 an hour to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. You go to California, it was $29 an hour.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, we'll see. I don't know if there's a solution to that or not, but I remember I had my solution. You have 17 million undocumented workers who are competing for low-wage jobs.
Brian's going to ship them back to Mexico.
Is if you do get some of those people out of the workforce, then suddenly there would be a shortage of low-wage earner or unskilled
That's true.
People who could handle these jobs. So my guess is that wages would go up naturally on their own by just having those who are here legally able to take those jobs.
It's a fascinating thought process.
It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. I'm all about fascination. That's it. Steve Roush is here. Steve Marsh is here. I'm Brian Wiley. The Team Super of Nampa studio hotline is 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. Economy. All these issues going on, all the political issues. I know a lot of people are getting a little wrapped up in all this turmoil. We'll have some, I think some positive things to share with you when we come back. It's Idaho's Money Show. Stay with us.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's talk station.
Throw it back to me now, aren't you?
I'm going to throw it back to you, buddy.
Steve Roush. Thank you. You're awesome. Steve Marsh, thank you. And you're awesome. Appreciate you guys. This is all part of Idaho's Money Show. I'm Brian Wiley. We certainly appreciate every person who listens to this program, gives us your hour. We're here for you. That is the purpose of this program. We're also here to, I think, kind of bring you up a little bit during the doldrums of all the negative news and the things that you're being bombarded with. I'm not telling you everything's always rosy. But I am saying that I am meeting with business owners and people who are actually experiencing some great successes. Mm-hmm. I do meet with people who are experiencing no great success right now, and that seem to be stuck in an old thought process. And they think that the world is kind of dying on the vine, when the reality is, I hate to say it, I think that they're just missing a chance to change with some new opportunity. Steve Marsh, you work with a lot of business owners, right?
Right.
Are you meeting with more of them? Is it growing? I mean, are you seeing more business owners and more prosperity or less than you saw 5 years ago?
I'm actually seeing more. I'm seeing a lot more people that are self-employed, which is the group of people that I've always worked with.
Yep.
And but I'm seeing a lot more people taking a chance and stepping out of the corporate grind and saying, you know, I got this idea and it's working so far.
And I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. I've got some new ideas. I'm bringing them to market. I'm employing some people. I'm expanding my business. I'm taking on new clients. I met with three gentlemen yesterday with Steve Roush. We met with these guys, had a great idea. They're trying to create a new business. They want to, you know, they would like to go big. I met, talked to another guy today who has a fantastic idea. His idea will probably take off and go huge. He's making big investments with it. There's venture capital money coming to it. Mm. I think opportunity is fantastic right now. I still go back to that comment I heard about a year ago, which is there's never been a time in the history of humankind that we have seen it to be so easy to create a business, to come up with an idea, create the business, and see it to fruition. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of times we'll sit here and focus on regulation. Yeah, it's difficult. And it makes being in business very difficult. Costs can be very expensive as well. But if you have an idea, there's very few excuses of why you can't bring that idea to market. You can open up a business literally in an hour online, go get a domain name, create a web page, and start offering your goods and services out. You can do it. Rather than those of you that want to sit here and complain about it, I think there's great reasons to sit here and maybe celebrate it, that we do have great.
No, I agree with you. And one of the things that I'm seeing, and I think this is, we're seeing a stratification of the populace. We're seeing the baby boomers who are heading into their retirement years, and they are a group of people that remember and may want to hearken back to the era of the late 50s, early 60s, and what they believe. You have our generation, and then you have the millennials. We're looking at this going forward and looking at all the technology opportunities and everything that we have and saying, life is good. Life is not in these doldrums that we're being told ad nauseum by these politicians. Mm-hmm. Life is good. The economy's good.
Yeah. And we live in a great area.
Heck yeah, we do. Tell a Californian it sucks here, will you?
Especially.
And spread the word. All right.
And spread the word.
Do something. We appreciate you listening to the program. Steve Marsh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's getmpi.com. That's his website. Also, you have a new website up.
I do.
It's called
Vision Plans of Idaho.
Wow. How did you think of that?
It took hours to come up with that.
VisionPlansOfIdaho.com.
Yeah. We had a committee get involved.
I bet you did. Steve Roush, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO.